The book of Isaiah, chapter 40. We're going to be reading from the 18th verse down to the end of the chapter. This is perhaps one of the mountain peaks of the Old Testament scripture. I say so because of the content, of course, of the chapter. But as we look at the opening words, comfort ye, my people. God is presenting to His own church, the Old Testament believers, the great comfort that there is in taking Him at His word. The 8th verse is the motto text I left with you for 2011. The word of our God shall stand forever. And He is challenging each one of us to rest upon the solid foundation of the Lord's living and abiding truth. God is exalting Himself in this chapter. He is presenting Himself as the Almighty Creator, the one who has made the heavens and the earth. And if there is any foundation that you and I can rest upon, can abide on for our soul's security, it's going to be upon the word that God has given and the God who is standing behind that word. He is everlasting. He is eternal. When we understand Him, we will know His way, and His way is certain. It is sure. It is for us to rest upon. And the Lord presents this truth in light of the fact that there are many who disregard Him and who turn His word aside and who look to other gods for their security, other gods for their salvation. And in their foolishness, they try to make with their own hands that which they'll depend upon for their soul. Verse 18. To whom then, the Lord says, will ye liken God? What likeness will ye compare unto Him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. It stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. It bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stalk shall not take root in the earth. And He shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, we have come this morning to read one of the most profound chapters of the Old Testament. We're thankful, Lord, for the clarity of the words that are given to us, that even those who are simple-minded shall not err therein. For these words speak with crystal clarity of the might and the power of the God with whom we have to do. And Lord, the great rebuke to us is this, that this word is spoken to the church in the Old Testament, spoken to the people who claimed to be the children of God. They are spoken to the Israel of God. And how foolhardy were thy people then, who made themselves images, who reared up idols and gods of their own making. And in their ignorance and foolishness, they said, "These be the gods, O Israel, that will deliver you." O Father, have mercy upon us, we pray, in our day. For when we look at ourselves, we are so often very little different from them. For we would in our own minds set up gods of our own making. We would place, O God, things before the Lord, in front of Thee, our God, and say, "These will help us. We will depend on our own strength, on that which is our own making." O Lord, deliver us, we pray, from such foolhardy thinking. Help us this morning, we pray, to enter in, to stand before the light of Thy holy word, and to stand, O God, before Thee and say, "Lord, be our wisdom, be our strength, be our salvation, be our justification and our sanctification. O God, be our glorification." Help us to walk before Thee in truth and righteousness and light. Lord, deliver us from the foolishness of self-dependency. How empty we are in ourselves to find any strength or help. Lord, come near to us. Come to our aid. Be with us, we pray, in this time as we meditate around the Word of God for a few moments this morning. Come to our aid, Lord. We need help and strength. We do thank Thee for the blessings of last Lord's Day and the meetings that we had, for answering our prayer and bringing Your servant in power and fullness. We pray for Reverend Kimbrough and his wife and their congregation, their family. Continue to shine upon them, Lord, we pray. And the words that were spoken, though a man's voice is silent, yet we pray that the power of the Spirit of God taking those words would be used yet still in all our lives. Forgive us, Lord, we pray, and help us to walk in close fellowship with Thee, our Savior, day by day. Take the word now that will be spoken and write it upon every heart. We think of those who may be in our gathering without Christ. It's time, Lord. It's time for them to repent and time for them to come through and to confess Christ and to cry out, "What must I do to be saved? Lord, save, we beseech Thee." Father, it's time to take a dealing with every one of our hearts that we might be revived and quickened. We will let go of the old idols, the old things we'd hang on to and depend on. We'll rest in the Lord today. Do a new thing in our hearts, we pray. Change us, Lord. May we be changed by the application of the word of truth to every heart. Let us be done with worldly things. O God, deliver us from the vices that so clamp around our lives and would stop us and not allow us to enter into the freedom and the joy of walking in fellowship with the Savior day by day. Hear our prayers now at this time and watch over us, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to leave with you today, for the moments we have left in our service, the final verse of chapter 40. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Isn't it easy when we start off on a new year, there's an anticipation, I would say an expectation, of what the Lord's going to do for us. We challenge you about getting into the Scripture and begin a reading program, how important that is for daily and consecutive reading and study of the Scriptures. And I know, as well as many of you, you can become in a degree of bondage over a reading schedule. We've talked to you about that and how you can just read in order to get through your chapters. But I'll tell you this, it's better to read than not to read. It's better to stay disciplined to that reading and continue on with God and do the best, because as you do and pray that prayer, the Lord will bring the Scriptures to light and bring them to your heart. Oh, I know if you read out of just a vanity and an emptiness, you'll not receive any blessing. You must read in the power of the Holy Spirit. But the challenge that I brought you leading up to the new year, and then as we commenced and you begin, why there's an excitement, the new year's resolutions. But here we are, friends. We're now into the month of March. January, February, we're into the beginning of March. And you know what happens to all of us is that anticipation and expectancy of the new year and of the excitement and of the motto text and all of those things, it seems to start out with such energy. But where are you today? Has your Christian experience in life ground to a halt, could we say, and hardly the year has begun? I want to challenge you today to renew your strength in the Lord and don't let your guard down, but to endeavor to continue and to go on. I'm speaking to you about the renewal of strength for the burden and the heat of the day and the challenge that is upon every child of God. That phrase, the burden and the heat of the day, is used four times in the Scripture. First of all, it appears in Genesis 18 and 1, where Abraham stood in his tent door in the heat of the day. In 1 Samuel 11 and 11, Saul slew the Ammonites until the heat of the day. And then again in 2 Samuel, the sons of Rimmon, they slew Ishbosheth at the heat of the day. So of those first three occasions, it's talking about a time frame. It is speaking about a certain period of the day, and that word heat of the day was just used to express that particular time of the day. But the fourth occurrence is in the New Testament. It's in Matthew 12 or 20 in verse 12, and it was those that had complained to the householder that they had borne the burden and heat of the day. And they thought that they should receive more for their labor than those who came at another time period. I don't want to get off onto that at the moment, but I want to leave that with you, because this final expression or final reference is dealing with this burden, this labor, and this expression, the burden and heat of the day, it comes to us and it deals with hard labor, with the additional expression of the burden that's added to the picture. It is arduous. It is something exhausting, something back-breaking, maybe even monotonous. A repetitive day-by-day action, maybe even mundane, wearisome, stressful, and draining. All of these expressions, they really help to paint the picture of what it means in that phrase, the burden and heat of the day. My friend, perhaps it is an expression of your own heart. Some sentiments that you are feeling. There are, in your own life, there are wars within and there are wars without. There are battles that you are fighting and facing. There are disappointments, many. There are frustrations, abundant. Temptations are multiplied in your life. Do you feel maybe you have lost your way? Do you feel at this early juncture of the year you've lost your direction? Where are you going? What is the Lord doing in your life? Or could we say, what is He not doing in your life? There's a degree of emptiness, there's a void, there's a frustration that is led on top of that. Things are not going well for you in your home. Oh, I know, so often we all come along to the Lord's house, don't we? And everybody is smiling. And you try to keep on and put on a good show. Because you don't want to do your dirty laundry in front of other people. As the saying goes, we want to at least keep ourselves looking right. But you know deep down inside that's not the way it is. And inside the family, there are deep problems. They are deep-rooted problems. And though no one else may know about it, or few people know about it, still, that burden is so heavy, and almost your mind is turned, Lord, I've lost my direction. Our family is not right. There's some things going wrong. And yes, right on the heels of what we were hearing last Lord's Day, we heard, I suppose, the theoretical point behind what a family is to be and how we're to work that out. But now it comes the steady grind of putting that into practice. It's got to be put in place, friend, in order that we will see God working. So home things may not be the way they should. And that can lead us to a large degree of frustration because we look to the Lord and we say, Lord, this is not right. This is not the way it should be. There has to be something wrong with me, wrong with my spouse, wrong in the family setting. It's just not going the way it should be. And I read in the Scripture the ideal, the theory, but it's not being carried out. What's wrong? What's the problem? And then you look to your work circumstances, and maybe you've been going through some very serious situations at work. The boss has been on you. You've made some very serious mistakes. Things are just falling down beside you, or maybe it's an employment factor itself. You need work. You're looking for employment, and the door is not opening the way you think it should. And then we mentioned church. Things may not be going as well for you in the house of the Lord as you would like. We all bemoan and lament our own lack, our own emptiness, our own lack of zeal for the things of God. There's no fire in our hearts, we say. Lord, because of your greatness, because of the might, even as we've read in Isaiah 40, the Lord demands and deserves so much more than we are giving to Him of ourselves. And that presents a lacking to us. Friends can disappoint us. All of these areas can lead us to be very frustrated. And perhaps you're saying and feeling inside, no one understands my situation. No one understands my circumstance. I look at other families and they're going on really well and no one really knows what's going inside our family. If they only could see into my own heart, they would realize the battle, the warring, the frustration. They would see, oh God, the temptations that are bombarding me. And so many times, maybe, I give in to those temptations. And you're wondering, no one else is going through this frustration that I am No one understands me. And all of this can lead you, my friend, to be cast down, to be like a sheep that is turned on its back. And once turned on its back, it cannot turn itself over again. It can't get righted. And if it's left there for a long time, it will die. The shepherd needs to come along and put you on your feet again, to put you right again. You think to yourself, I have no strength to go on. I can't fight this battle anymore. There is an answer, friend. There is hope. And the Scripture has given us this hope. But they that wait upon the Lord, to turn your eyes upon Jesus, to look full in His wonderful face, and then the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. Waiting upon God. Look at these words again from verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. Friend, it is time today to think about a review of where you are. A time for retooling. Yes, you have to sharpen the tools that you have in the toolbox. The axe must be sharpened if you're going to be able to cut the tree properly. The file must be put in the right condition. The drill must be sharp if you're going to be able to drill into the wood or the steel. There has to be a time of reviving, of quickening. Yes, and all of these things will bring us to the point of rededication of life. How will all this come about? How is this going to be realized in our life? My friend, it's by waiting upon the Lord. It is by waiting upon God in prayer. That is the very first step that we must take. You see, when our prayer life wanes, when our prayer life is not what it needs to be before God, then the communication line that we have with God is broken. And whenever there is a break in communication, and you think about this in your own life, if there is a break in communication between husband and wife, there is a wall that goes up between them. And when that break in communication occurs, why, all things begin to degenerate very quickly. When there is a break in communication in the workplace, when there is a break in communication with you and God, that's where the problem really sets in. When you think about it from an army perspective, if the communication lines are cut in the battle zone, what does that do for those who are on the front line? Why, their coordinates are now unknown. The supplies that they need to reach them in order to be strengthened, those supplies are now cut because the communication lines are not there. The backup that is so often needed on the front lines, why, that's uncertain. Communication, you see, my friend, is essential for our survival. When the famed Franklin expedition set out for finding the Northwest Passage, they were hopelessly locked in ice. At that point, there was no communication by cell phone or any other way, and there was no one that could get to them, and they had no way of getting out. They were locked in that ice. And each one of those crew members perished, every one of them frozen to death. When they were finally discovered, it was too late. You see, if we break off communication with the Lord, we will become colder and colder and colder. And it's like the ice is slowly forming over our hearts. And that ice that soon forms, that quickly forms, it can be broken very easily by a touch or a stone, or you set your foot on it, it will crack and break away. But once that ice forms its first layer, it's not long before the second, third, fourth layer, and the ice freezes relatively quickly. And once it is 2, 3, 4 inches thick, you will not break it even by driving on it with a heavy piece of equipment. It becomes very strong. You see, once that ice forms over our heart, we just become so ice cold. There's no longer any communication that we have. Once it's broken off and our prayer life ceases, you can't go on with God until you get that rectified. It has to be fixed. This past Friday, on Lake Simcoe, you may have heard in the news, there were 27 fishermen who were stranded on an ice sheet. All of a sudden, what happened, it seemed that the ice just broke. They were out here, and the ice divided where they were between the shore and the land, and the ice flowed very quickly. The gap spanned 1 foot, 2 foot, 3, and before long, they could, no way they could get over and jump even to the main sheet of ice. And so now they're floating quickly 1 mile out into Lake Simcoe. Well, thankfully, they had their cell phones, and they were able to phone and get help. But I'm thinking about this from this point of view. You see, once we are in the ice-cold regions, and there is a distance that moves between us from the land and the ice flow that we're on, it's almost like that when we break prayer communication with the Lord. We drift, and we drift, and we drift. And unless there is some rescue that comes, all would be frozen, and would be lost, and would perish. Oh, friend, we need to have our strength renewed. We need to warm our souls in order to melt the iciness. And how will that happen? It will only happen as we wait before God in prayer and get before Him. It is so simple, the answer. It is before all of us. Why don't we do it? Why do we not take that time and that effort to wait before God and pray the fire from heaven down upon our own lives in order to melt the ice? We fail to do it. There may be many reasons for that. Perhaps because of our own carnal stubbornness, and we think that we can do it on our own. Oh, the old flesh rebels against anything spiritual. The flesh resists wanting to get before God in prayer and doing our spiritual duty and our communion with God. And so it puts up all the other excuses around. And all the time, you know what's happening? The ice is getting thicker and thicker in our heart. We need to get before God. And you know something? When you've been away from the Lord for a long time, and the ice is well formed over your life, don't expect that things are just going to thaw and break up in a snap of your finger. No, my friend, the Lord will cause you to hunger for Him. He will cause you to get before Him in prayer and cry out to the Lord. And you think, Lord, You're not hearing me. You're not answering my prayer. Believer, keep on praying. Keep on seeking. Keep on searching. Keep on waiting before God in prayer. Because as you do, the Lord indeed will answer. You've left your first love, and that needs to be restored. You've deserted the Lord in prayer, and I know that the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us, but the communication line has been broken, and the fellowship has been marred. Now, right today, is the time to review your life and to retool. And the only way we will see this happening is that we must wait before God in prayer. And then we have to add to this, we must wait with patience in prayer. This is not a popular thing. In fact, it's a very hard thing for us to do. Because most of the times, you and I will wait impatiently. We will wait because we are forced to wait and we have no other option. Case in point, when you're driving and you're in a hurry to go somewhere and you're coming up to the stoplight and it's red and you have to wait and you're stamping your feet and you're talking to yourself and you're saying, why is that light red? Hurry up and turn green. I know you do it because I do it as well. Unless you're really not going to be like that in all of these situations. It's very nice to be patient, but sometimes you're in a hurry to go somewhere and you have to see that moving forward. And then as soon as you step on the gas, when the light turns green, you see the next light down there and it's turned yellow and it's going red. Now you're going to be waiting again. And then you begin to complain about the traffic computer in Toronto and why don't they review this thing and get it working so that all these lights are timed properly in the right order. You know something? God often puts a red light before our life to teach us patience, to teach us what it means to trust in His sovereign and providential delays. And sometimes when we want something to happen in urgency, it does not occur that way. And the Lord is teaching us just that. I want you, my child, to wait patiently. Not wait impatiently, to wait upon the Lord, because His timing takes grace to wait for. You know, especially when the answer that we are seeking from God is delayed. I want you to turn to Psalm 13. Psalm 13, verses 1 and 2. David prays, Lord, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Can you sense the impatience in the psalmist's prayer? He is frustrated. He is filled with anxiety. The enemy is breathing down his back. And he sees, Lord, I have called upon you, I have prayed, I have sought your face, but you're not answering me. How long are you going to delay? When the Lord delays in the answers to our prayers, friend, it is very frustrating. And we can be at the point of declaring that God has forgotten to be gracious. In Psalm 74 and verse 10, it says, how long shall the wicked or the enemy reproach? That comes in line with that. Because you're seeing the enemy encroaching. Seems to be making new ground, fresh ground every day. And as you're confronted with this, the frustration increases. And you're saying, Lord, how come you're not moving? Friends, what we have to remember is that the Lord does not work to our timetable. And He is teaching us the grace of patience. Are you at the end of yourself today? When we have exhausted our hoarded resources, when our strength has failed, ere the day is half done, the Father's full giving has only begun. And that's where He wants us to be. He wants us to be in the place of faith. He wants us to rest and to wait upon Him and to be content with His timing. And so when we must wait with patience, even though the answer is being delayed for God's purposes. But what about this scenario when the answer is different than what we were thinking it was going to be? We're all guilty of this, you know. We ask for something from God and we have an idea about the best way it should turn out. We have our goal, our plan, our thought. We're thinking that, Lord, if you would only answer this in the way that I'm assuming, it would be the best for all, wouldn't it? God comes back and He says, my answer is different from the one that you thought you were going to receive. Sometimes when there are cross purposes, it's very discordant and it's hard to understand. In the morning, as you were having the Bible class here, I was in my study, and you were singing the opening hymn. What was that again, brother? Do you remember? Oh, dear. Anybody remember? What was that opening hymn? Shower. Are you sure? No, I'm in the Bible class. Anyways, it was a great hymn, although I can't remember it right now. It was a blessing. And I was singing along to it in my study as you were singing in the Bible class. And that went along for about the first 1 minute. And then after that, the Sunday school downstairs started to sing Deep and Wide. And that's a great chorus. And so I started to sing along Deep and Wide. But immediately, I can hear the hymn being played up here in the Bible class, and I can hear the Sunday school chorus going on downstairs. And then once they started both playing together, they crossed the lines, and they were completely discordant. And now I couldn't make heads or tails out of either one of the hymns. They were both confusing. And it was a big mass of sound coming in, and it was very discouraging. It was discordant. There was no harmony. Now, those who were singing in the Bible class couldn't hear what was going on downstairs, and those downstairs couldn't hear, so everyone was happy in their own right. But the person in the middle, me, I was not happy because it didn't make a good sound to me. And that's where you are sometimes, and that's where I find myself. When we're seeking the Lord, we're waiting upon God for some answer, we need to be strengthened, but we're hearing cross signals, and that's unpleasant. Sometimes we say, Lord, why are you allowing this to happen in my life? Things are different from what I expected. And you know, the Lord uses these times in our Christian experience. He uses them to teach us when we are confused and we can't make any sense about what's going on. We must then rest, Lord, you know what you're doing in the lives of each one of us. Give me faith to rest upon the differing signals that I'm receiving, because I trust in a sovereign God. Remember, He's created all things, the heavens and the earth. He knows all. He has created all. He is sustaining all. And He will bring us safely to the conclusion at the end. Sometimes things are delayed. Sometimes the answers are different and we don't really quite understand what God is doing. There are other times when we wait in prayer upon God, and the answer is denied, the prayer that we've asked the Lord for. Perhaps the greatest example in the Scripture of a denied prayer is of Elijah. When he prayed after the victory on Mount Carmel that God would take his life away, he had fled from Jezebel. He was off in the desert. He says, Lord, it is enough. I'm no better than my fathers. Well, nobody told me he was any better than his fathers anyways. But he said, I'm no better. So take my life away. I'm finished. I'm done. I can't take it anymore. The Lord didn't answer his prayer. And he didn't answer Elijah's prayer. And Elijah saw and experienced one of the greatest blessings, for he did not die. He was taken up to heaven in glory. The Lord came to receive him home. And oh, friends, by God's providence, when He denies our prayers, we need to be thankful for that. I look back in my own Christian life, and there are so many times that I prayed things in my impetuousness, in my foolishness, in my lack of trust and resting upon God. And I prayed those prayers, and if the Lord had answered, it would have been disaster for me. If he would have given me what I requested, it was not good for me. I'm thankful. I praise his name today. He did not answer that prayer for me the way I wanted it. And there are times when he flatly says, no, this is not the thing you're going to receive. It's not good for you. Can you rest there, friend? When there is delay, when there is a difference, when there is a denial from God, I'll tell you the only answer to this is when faith will be engaged and you patiently rest upon God's greater good for you. That is when you will say, yes, Lord. That is when you will experience the truth of this verse, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It is then when you've waited patiently, your strength begins to be increased in your Christian walk. And you see the fog begins to dissipate, and you can see the way through. The Lord is showing you what he wants from you. And then finally, we must wait upon the promise, in prayer, with patience, and upon the promise, for they shall renew their strength. There is hope. And sometimes you think there is no hope because I'm so frustrated, I'm at the end. Keep on. There is hope. Keep on praying. Keep on pursuing. Keep on waiting upon God. He has promised you will renew your strength, and God will be the one to grant you that. What is the pathway to this renewal of strength? Well, there will be a time of repentance, that is for sure. Because honestly, when you're before God and you're crying out to him, you are confronted and presented with your own great depravity and the failures that you have caused and brought on yourself in your own life. And because of those failures and that depravity, we must cast ourselves in repentance before God, first of all. And as we say, Lord, have mercy upon me, forgive me of my sin, even in holy things. Because everything we touch turns, it seems, bad. We're tainted with our own sinful part. And so, Lord, we must repent. There must be, and there will be, that gracious reviving as we wait upon him. And you see, when the believer is revived, there will be then in the life a rededication. There will be saying, Lord, take my life and let it be wholly consecrated unto thee. There will be that rededication of our life, of our time, of our talents, of our will, our heart, our mind. And what a surprise when the real joy of the Lord floods your heart, and it will be almost instantaneous. He will take that which is at the bottom and discouraged and depressed, and he will turn that around to be at the top, and you will be able to walk in joy. And it may be that your life problems have not dramatically changed yet. It may be that you have still got problems and more than you had before. But there's something different, and it's this. You are able to rest with contentment, knowing that God has strengthened you with might on the inner man, and you're able to go on with joy and peace. As we turn our eyes upon Jesus, to wait upon him, to look unto him, for he will renew your joy and renew your strength, and you will mount up with wings as eagles. You will run and not be weary. You will continue in that calling of God, that charge that he has put upon every child. We will walk with God, and we will not faint. We'll pursue him, and he will open the door and bring us through for his own greater glory. Believer, pray to this end that God will strengthen your own heart. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, take these words today, I pray, and impress them, Lord, with thine own spirit upon every heart. Father, there will be some here today who are not believers. They they do not know the Lord, please speak to their hearts. Bring them into the full fellowship and joy of what it is to have their sins forgiven, to have peace with God, and to have a righteous and a holy standing before Thee. Lord, breathe upon every one of us as Thy children. May we be filled daily with the Holy Spirit that will walk in the center of Thy perfect will. Hear our prayers now, we ask, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're going to sing in closing today, number 687.